It's comforting to know it's there, but the thought of going to the emergency room can be daunting. But there are some few things that you can do to help you prepare so that you're ready in case you ever have to make the trip. My guest today is Dr. James Ree. He's an emergency medicine physician and a member of the medical staff at Corona Regional Medical Center. Welcome to the show, Dr. Ree. When should people go to the emergency room?
Well, that's actually a very difficult question because everyone's threshold for going to an emergency department can be a little bit different. I do have to tell you that usually when you are uncertain about whether you may be experiencing a medical emergency, you definitely need to seek medical attention, and the emergency room serves as basically a venue for getting that attention.
What are some symptoms that you'd like people to know are certainly emergent?
Well, I have to tell you that probably the most significant conditions that we treat in the emergency department are conditions related to heart conditions as well as conditions such as stroke. And so those are two areas that I like to highlight in this conversation because sometimes these symptoms are not very clear. It's not very cut and dry. Heart attack symptoms can vary, especially if you have other conditions such as diabetes. And it seems that some heart attack symptoms can be somewhat atypical. The classic symptoms that we talk about are chest pain, maybe some radiation of the pain to the jaw or the shoulder and the arm. But we also have to realize that there are other symptoms that can also reflect potential heart attack or underlying condition that may predispose someone to a heart attack, including shortness of breath and weakness. And we just have to be very aware of our body. And most people have a good idea of what their body feels like, and they know when something is wrong. And if there's a concern, I think that's an appropriate time to seek medical care, whether it's through their primary care doctor, if they have a good relationship with them, or if they feel that this is an emergent condition. And we always respect when people feel that they're experiencing an emergency, they should contact 911 and get healthcare services through 911, and they will promptly send a transport vehicle out to bring the patient back to the emergency department. The other condition I'd like to highlight is also stroke, because stroke is another condition that really is time sensitive, and it's something that sometimes a lot of people don't understand what the symptoms are. Stroke symptoms typically result in, we call it neurologic deficits, but that can manifest as really weakness, sometimes slurring of the speech, sometimes confusion that occurs right away. And sometimes you'll notice someone experiencing a droop to their face, which could represent symptoms of a stroke as well. Any of these symptoms should prompt medical attention because there are some treatments that are really time sensitive. And the sooner that we as emergency physicians can assess the patient with these symptoms, the sooner we could get treatment to them that may be effective.
In this sports season, Dr. Ree, what about concussion? Is that an emergent situation?
So concussion is an emergent situation. And I have to tell you that we see many forms of head injury, and there are many forms of concussion as well. And they're graded on different levels. Now, one of the things we do in the emergency department is we evaluate concussions, but what we're looking for is actually potentially more significant underlying head trauma. This can include bleeding into the brain. We refer to various conditions such as subdural hematoma, epidural hematoma, subarachnoid hemorrhage. These are all forms of injury to the brain that can occur during sports, head trauma, and they can mimic also a concussion. Now, concussions, typically we cannot make a definitive diagnosis with, for example, CAT scans or MRIs in the emergency department. These injuries are injuries that occur more at a microscopic cellular level, but as we are learning with many years of experience, these are true head injuries that require ongoing follow-up. Now, in the emergency department, usually what we do is we try to differentiate from the more serious head injuries and concussions. If we identify a concussion, we need to educate the patient about what the appropriate follow-up measures are, including avoiding re-injury to the head, because that could prompt a more significant head injury. And this also requires patients to follow up for ongoing neurologic assessment as well as potential testing. They cannot go back into a sports venue where head injury may occur. And also they need to rest as well physically and mentally. So this may mean no video games, no extended TV watching, etc.
While we never know if we're going to have to go to the emergency room or if somebody does have some of those pre-existing conditions you mentioned, what would you like patients to have prepared in case they do have to go? What would you like them to bring with?
Well, one of the biggest challenges that we have as emergency physicians is that oftentimes when we are evaluating a patient, that's our very first time that we've met the patient. We don't have access necessarily to all their previous records or their previous history. And so what helps us immensely is knowing a number of different things, but probably paramount is a list of their prior medical conditions, as well as the list of the medications that they are taking. This can affect the way we will manage a patient in the emergency department, and oftentimes this information is missing. So definitely, I think that those are, if I had a wish list of things that, you know, patients could bring with them to the emergency department, those would be the two things.
And what about the emergency room itself, Dr. Rhee? What is it like people see on TV, this very hectic running around place? Is it really like that?
Well, I'll tell you, it can be very hectic at times. And part of it is that we have seen over the years basically unprecedented volume to the emergency department. We have become busier and busier year after year. And as that occurs, we have to learn how to basically manage the patient flow through the emergency department. And this can be a little bit tricky because we always want to make sure that we are attending to those patients with emergency life-threatening conditions first. So oftentimes we will sort through the patients. It's a process called triage to identify those patients who have the most significant and serious symptoms to be evaluated first so that we can stabilize those patients in an appropriate manner. Now, when we have an influx of patients, oftentimes this is one of our biggest challenges and leads to a sense of hecticness, I should say. But as our hospitals, as well as our emergency departments, have gotten more experience with this, we're learning how to more effectively manage this patient flow. This is obviously an ongoing kind of challenge for us, and it's an area that we continuously are looking at to improve. And we're looking actually at other industries to help us with this sorting process in this queuing system and this triage system.
If someone has an elderly relative, should they try and keep legal documents and such, whether they're DNRs or advanced directives, should they keep those with them on occasion?
Melanie, I appreciate you bringing that up because I think that is very important for that information to stay with the patient if possible. And again, similar to the discussion about past medical problems, as well as medical conditions and medications, things such as advance directives, DNR, patients' wishes for life-saving treatment, these are all part of the information that we would like to have as emergency physicians so we can respect a patient's wishes when they come in. Sometimes when a patient comes to the emergency department, they cannot speak on their own because of the reason they present, and having that type of information with them often helps us understand what the patient actually wishes in terms of their medical care. And this has obviously come under increased scrutiny with some of the changes in the laws recently in California, as well as some of the other states with regard to patients' right to die.
What if a patient forgets to bring things like their insurance cards and certain information? Are they ever refused care?
Never. This is a federal mandate. When a patient presents to an emergency department, they need and are guaranteed a medical screening exam. And this medical screening exam is provided so that we can identify potential emergent medical conditions. We don't even get into the insurance aspect of it until this process has taken place. And I have to tell you that one of the reasons I chose emergency medicine is because I don't really want to think about those issues. I just want to get to the patient, evaluate the patient, treat the patient for their emergency medical problem.
In just the last few minutes, what would you like patients to know about coming to the emergency room and why they should come to Corona Regional Medical Center for their care?
Well, I would like patients to know, as they come to the emergency room, that we are extremely vested in taking care of them. And when they come to the emergency department, they need to understand that there is a process, such as this triage process that I alluded to before, that kind of helps sort out who is going to be the sickest. But regardless of when they get to emergency department, we will get to them and we will see all of them when they walk in through those doors. And that's what they need to understand. Sometimes I feel that patients, as they walk into emergency department, if they see a crowded waiting room, they feel that they may need to go someplace else. And that's not necessarily the case. The crowded waiting room may be full of family members or actually patients who are in the process of getting their workup done. And that's just the way we are managing the patient flow through the department nowadays, just because of our limited space. And as they come to the emergency department, as they check in, they need to recognize that we will get to them and we will see them and we will treat them accordingly.
Thank you so much. It's such important information. Thank you for being with us today, Dr. Rhee. You're listening to Corona Regional Radio with Corona Regional Medical Center. For more information, you can go to coronaregional.com. That's coronaregional.com. Physicians are independent practitioners who are not employees or agents of Corona Regional Medical Center. The hospital shall not be liable for actions or treatments provided by physicians. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.